studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update. Join us now for a roundtable discussion of today's news and events at 646-721-9887 or in the chat room at krbnradio.com. And now, here's your moderators for today's show, Cliff and Robin.
And we are back once again for another exciting adventure of Oregon Update. And I'm your host slash moderator, Robin.
Interestingly enough, our roundtable got very long and skinny today because there's only two of us.
I was going to mention something about that. Somebody cut it off. Bradley, they got personal stuff they have to do, a tragedy in their family. And so it's either take care of family or come on and do a free show. So it's kind of a toss-up, and they chose family.
Yeah, most people do, whether it's free or not. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't. I'm here. I'm here, ready or not. Well, I sort of did take personal days, but I didn't have any choice, so.
Yeah. Oh, life-threatening stuff, you know, what's that?
Yeah, laying in a hospital with my chest wide open, I decided not to bother to come in, so.
Thank goodness for that. I mean, what a mess that would make in the paperwork involved.
Yeah, really, really. I didn't want to get blood all over my studio, so.
That's true.
Whatever.
Anyways, welcome to the show. Today's just kind of a free-for-all. We do have some topics. And
Well, interestingly enough, the politically correct thing didn't equate into what I thought it was going to be. I was more interested in corruption in our society and what it is and why it is and all that sort of thing. And politically correct wasn't that. Politically correct is kind of an interesting thing, but and it's in a way it's kind of fun, and in a way it's not. It denotes language and ideas and policies and behavior and things like that. But mostly, most of the things I've seen about it are just jokes more than anything else.
Well, unfortunately, some of those jokes are serious. I mean, like, for example, with the Easter, where one school in Oregon, this gal wanted to bring in Easter eggs for the class, and when she went and asked for permission, they said, yeah, fine, no problem at all, but you can't call them Easter eggs. They have to be spring spears.
Oh, yeah. It gets so carried away. It's so ridiculous in a lot of cases, some of the stuff that they come up with as to what's correct and not correct.
Yeah, the holiday tree versus the Christmas tree.
Well, they've got something for everything. Android is a bipedal non-human associate bearing immense knowledge and skill. Not all of them. Some of them are just lumps of tin.
That's true. But I was going to say, you just described some of my coworkers.
A boy, the politically correct definition of a boy, is an oppressor to be.
A boy is an oppressor to be.
Oppressor to be.
Oppressor. Oppressor.
Yeah. A cat is a quadruped non-human associate.
All right, you quadruped non-human associate, get off the table.
Really. They're just, and see, that's the thing. That's the kind of things that I found more than anything else. Just sort of joke type things, and like you say, some of them are not necessarily so jokeable, but they're still weird. I mean,
when I tell you that every time that one of those non-human associates starts digging up my garden, that's not exactly the way I refer to them.
Well, yeah, they have digging up your garden or making holes in you.
That
happens on a regular basis.
Making holes in me?
Yeah. I bought a brand new pair of pants, and I was wearing my brand new pair of pants for the very first time and went and visited my niece, who has little kids who have had a brand new kitty, and my brand new pair of pants became shredded in short time. So there are times that the bipedal things are very upsetting.
Speaking of brand new, we got something brand new I'd like to share with our audience.
Okay.
We have a new chat room.
Oh, yes. We do, don't we? Yeah.
And you can join us in that chat room. We have both chat rooms open right now, the one at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, and on our homepage at KRBNradio.com, you can join us there. And what's really neat about that is that you don't need an account to log in and talk to with us.
All you have to do is decide on a nickname, so to speak, and it can be anything you want. The only thing is, if you actually use your name, it's a possibility that somebody's already using it, so you have to change it to, you know, I use Cliff, C-L-I-F, which is fine. Nobody uses that because I've only got one F. But if not, I might have to put a 2 or a 3 or a 756 or something after it. Who knows? But it's real easy to sign in, and you don't have to do anything other than... And the only reason you have to sign is so we know who's, you know, we can keep them separated on the site over there so we know who's talking.
Exactly. So give it a try at www.krbnradio.com and click on the chat and join us there. Let's see how well it works. And speaking of chatting, you can also chat with us on the phone at 646-721-9887. And, of course, we always love to get emails, too, at talk@krbnradio.com. There's all types of different ways you can get a hold of us.
Well, and also, if you click on our website for that chat room, over on the right-hand side is the widget, which will allow you to listen into the show and chat with us either way, live or on the telephone or on the chat room or just listen. Or you have all kinds of options now, and they're all easy to do. Easy to do. That's our whole point of life, is to make things easy.
We are all over the place. We are taking over. Broadcasting to the world.
What's interesting, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he made comment on the fact he put KRBN Radio in the search engine, and we came up more times than anybody else. We took the whole page almost of KRBN because we got all kinds of stuff we've done. We've been doing this for over a year now, so.
That's right. It's time for people to start sending us money.
Yeah, really? That wouldn't be too bad. Send us money.
Anyway, 646-721-9887. If you've never called a talk show before, it's a good time to do it. We promise we won't bite much. And once you dial that number, you can also listen to the show, by the way, by dialing that number. And when you decide that you would like to participate, just push 1. And a little hand will come up with your phone number on my board here. And I'll say, welcome to the show, area code so-and-so, and you can talk with us. So it's really easy, and it is addicting, so give it a try. If you've never done it before, go step out of your boundaries and give it a shot. You might enjoy it. Last week, by the way, Cliff, as you recall, we were talking about Osama bin Laden. And you not so much because you've been a professional broadcaster for, I don't know, how many centuries. But
yeah, really.
But I was having trouble with getting Osama and Obama and all that type of stuff mixed up. And doing a little bit of research, I found that I was not the only one having that trouble. And I have a little audio clip of that.
Osama's name is Obama?
It's kind of easy to do.
Obama.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed.
First, we had heard through the media that a missile attack had killed Obama.
We're hearing that a U.S. helicopter actually went down near the attack where Obama was killed.
It started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority.
The U.S. went in, destroyed that helicopter. They didn't want the enemy getting to it. But Osama and 3 other people,
they got a possible lead on where Obama might be hiding.
After decades of searching and a worldwide manhunt, federal agents discovered Obama's secret location.
American operatives had learned that bin Laden was hiding out.
Osama was hiding out.
The intelligence said Obama was hiding in a compound deep inside Pakistan.
You know, Obama, he was probably an old man.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did I say Obama or Osama?
So emotional to find out that, in fact, Osama bin Laden had been caught.
Coming to Washington, D.C. on the day that, you know, they take Obama out. I mean,
Osama, right.
This is Osama, Obama.
Right.
Obama finally caught last night.
Now, Fox, we understand our sister station are saying that Obama was, Osama was buried at sea at 2 a.m. That would be 7 in the morning.
Obama's dead. I don't care. What did I say? Osama bin Laden is dead. I don't care how he died.
If the president is so serious about the war on terror, why doesn't he hunt down and capture Barack Obama before he strikes again? It's time to change America. That's why I'm voting for Osama in 2008.
Fortunately, President Obama is not dead. He is alive and well, as far as I can tell.
So it wasn't just me.
Well, I like that. He's alive and well, as far as I can tell. What is she trying to say? That he's not real active? Anyway, I know there's a lot of that going around. It's so easy. That's why I originally tried to decided to call him Bin Laden and not use his first name, but I even screwed that up a lot, too. So.
Exactly.
You can't win for losing in this particular case. It's amazing.
In putting together this montage, there was a video where Obama, and I think he was getting an award or something, or getting introduced and by some guy standing next to him, and he messed it up. And poor Obama.
Well, yeah, the president is really getting picked on after this one, I tell you, because their names are so similar.
Yeah. But I'm calling him.
People say it without even realizing they've done it, and they don't correct themselves sometimes, and it gets real confusing. You just have to decide for yourself who they're talking about.
Exactly.
It's still going. I'm amazed that they're still talking about it. But there is so much to talk about because there are so many people that don't really think this actually happened. They think this was a staged event, especially since they won't release the pictures, and they won't. They took the body out and buried it at sea, supposedly. And the only redeeming factor I've heard about this whole story was that the Al Qaeda themselves have sort of admitted that he's dead, but they didn't really come out and say that it happened today or this last month. It could have happened in 2001 when a whole lot of people reported that he had died. So who knows what actually took place, and if it was maybe just expedient, and was it expedient just to get President Obama reelected? I mean, you know, what is the whole real story? I don't think we're ever going to know what the real story is.
Probably not, but what is kind of interesting is Pakistan's reaction to it, where they're going, well, you know, we're not happy that you came over and did this, but we'll give you a free pass this time, but if you do it again, you're going to be met with full force.
I don't think too many of the Pakistanis are really giving us a full pass either, and I don't blame them because it is a little bit absurd, but on the same token, and again, see, we don't know for sure if he was there. Maybe that's the reason they didn't know that they weren't aware of it, is because he really wasn't there. So who knows what's going on? But if Pakistan is not going to get too upset. They have $3 billion a year to lose. So I would be pretty moderate, in my opinion, for $3 billion a year, too.
Well, and the fact that, you know, do you really think the Pakistani government didn't know he was there?
I think that perhaps the Pakistani government didn't know he's there because he wasn't.
He wasn't there?
Mm-mm.
Well, where was he?
Dead since 2001. I mean, I read them all on last week's show because there are too many reports, just way too many. CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN, Reuters, all of those people reported him dead back in, November or whatever it was, of 2001. And how can they all be wrong? How can they all have been either fooled then? I can see how they can be fooled this time, if they were, because the whole government has helped out with that. But these people, I don't know. I don't believe that the government literally tells our news people what to say, and in which case, if they don't tell the news people what to say, the news people are going out and looking for the things, and if they're finding him and reporting them, why are they changing their mind this time?
Well, good point. I mean, if in 2001 he was actually did get killed, I mean, the U.S. would make a huge deal over it like they're doing this time.
He didn't. He died of something. He was ill, quite ill, and he died of that, whatever. I don't remember what it was. My mind is gone. I'm old.
And so, okay, going along with that theory, who did we go get?
What?
Well, I mean, obviously we went over there because we blew up one of our stealth helicopters that they're making a huge deal over. And so we went over there.
We didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I don't believe it.
Oh, you don't believe that? You don't believe that we...
Not necessarily. See, there's a lot of different things going on. There are a lot of people that say we didn't go to the moon. It all happened in Area 51. There are all kinds of stories like that. But in this particular case, I really find this a really hard story to swallow because of the fact that, first of all, either Obama, our President Obama, the real Obama, is a bumbling fool because he couldn't put together a whole administration story that everybody would follow. And when they first started talking about it, everybody had different stories. Everybody had a different idea. And they all couldn't talk about it. That's the only thing in common that they had that they knew is they really shouldn't talk about it. But they did anyway, just not very much. And if Obama knew about this, 3 months before it happened, which is what he's saying he did, he had plenty of time to put together a story, and he didn't. And why didn't he? I mean, whether it was true or not, he should have had a cohesive story that everybody in the administration could follow. And so he's either being an unbelievably lax leader or not leader, or he's just stupid. And I don't really know that he's that stupid, but he sure missed the bet on this one, I think. And so I'm not too sure what really happened, if anything really happened.
Well, and that gets back to my earlier point, is that assuming that this really happened, you would think that there would be videos of the capture, the whole incident, being all over the news media, and it's been frozen.
Right, right. And the thing is, you know, again, why would they go out and bury him at sea within, a couple hours? That's ridiculous. That's only if you're trying to hide something. And what are they trying to hide? And did anything actually happen? As far as the raid is concerned, they've carried out this raid, and Pakistan didn't even know about that. How could they not know about it when we carried out the raid itself? How could they possibly allow this to have happened? I don't think Pakistan is that stupid at all, or the Pakistani military or any of them. They got more on the ball than that, and they just dropped it entirely. And I just can't believe that Pakistan dropped this entirely, so thoroughly, as they're trying to tell us they did, as our government is trying to say they did. So, you know, who knows? And, of course, the thing is, the American government, our administration, can't possibly ever let anybody know that it didn't happen, because then the whole world is going to be on our back. So,
well, especially after Obama's going around and parading, look at me, look at me. You know, I finally did something a Bush couldn't do.
Yeah, really. Really, as a matter of fact. And I don't know. I just, this is all so fishy in this whole thing that it's just really hard to be acceptant of it. But I'm not going to try to bother myself over the fact, because if he did get killed this time, I'm just as happy. If he didn't, he's already dead. And either way, we're rid of him. And either way, what's happening now is that Al-Qaeda themselves and other people are accepting that fact and changing things. And so maybe it's going to, like they say, find big holes in the hierarchy of the Al-Qaeda organization. And maybe it'll help break it up. I don't know.
Well, I think that, and like you said earlier in the program, that about Americans' trust in our government, a lot of people, including myself, believe that this is just a ploy because we got re-election coming up, and that's going to help his chances for getting re-elected because he is very low in the polls. I was thinking that the only thing this is going to help him is that Osama bin Laden got killed on Obama's watch. However, then I got reading other comments in different chat rooms that there's still a lot of people that feel that Obamacare or don't realize that Obamacare is going to cost you hundreds of dollars every year if you don't have it because of the penalties for doing it, because they still think it's a great idea, but nobody's talking about the fines and stuff it's going to cost you if you don't have qualifying health care.
Well, I think the Obamacare thing is going to go away, is what's actually going to happen, because the Republicans are working real hard at it. There's two or three things about this. First of all, if Obama thinks it's just going to get him elected, we're 2 years away, folks. That's a long time, and things are going to change by then. Granted, his numbers and his polls are way up right now. He's 60-some-odd percent approval rating at the moment, which is really high, probably almost as high as he's ever been. But the rest of the government is not. The rest of the government is still down around 29 or something like that. Nobody believes anything anybody says anymore. So when 2012 rolls around and this next election thing happens, I think we're going to have, even as much as we had this big revolution this time, I think it's going to be even bigger next time. We're going to change an awful lot of people, because there's an awful lot of people that are not trusted in our government, in House and Senate and everywhere else. So I think there's going to be a big change. The problem is, you understand, that we can change all of the elected people, but the people who really make the decisions and who really come up with the ideas are not the elected people. They're the people that the elected people hire, and they stay. You go in as a senator and you take over a whole staff. Now, you can change them if you want to, but about 90% or 90-some-odd percent of them don't change that staff. They keep that staff because the staff knows what they're doing and the new senator doesn't. And so you learn from them, and consequently they're the ones really making the decisions and the ideas and the rules and all that sort of thing. And so we've got to find a way to change the bureaucracy as well as the actual senators and representatives.
Well, on that same point, I read an article the other day where Obama has come out and said that he's not in favor of the per-mile tax for electric cars, but yet another part of the department is seriously looking into it, similar to what Oregon had done a couple years ago. And, of course, because I guess what I'm trying to say is that Obama came out and said, no, I'm not in favor of this. Another division of the government says, well, yeah, we're going to look into it because, you know, more efficient cars means less revenue. But they're touting it as the Obama per mile tax. So, I mean, who's really in control here? I mean, if one side of the government says we're going to do it, and Obama says no, I don't like it, and we're going to do it anyways.
Well, you realize Obama is not in control. Obama is, and what he says doesn't really mean anything. He says what he thinks will keep the American public happy. And that's the fact that they don't want new taxes, so he'll talk about not doing new taxes. But when you think about it, you got to do that. You got to do something to pay for those roads. And if gasoline tax is not going to do it, then you got to come up with something else. And we're spending even more money now putting up all over the country, not just in Oregon, but perhaps more in Oregon than anywhere else, these charging stations all over the country, all over the major international highways. They're going to have these charging stations. So, and that's a great thing. I think it's fine. I don't think that's the answer, but it's going to be fine for the moment. And that's costing a lot of money, and we're not, you know, where's that coming from? We've got to have some sort of an electrical tax some way for it to happen. It can be a tax on, well, we do have tax on electricity, quite a bit of tax on electricity, so that's part of it. But there's got to be something making up the difference that we're losing in our highway taxes. Gas taxes, and so they've got to come up with that somewhere, whether it's in the form of paying an extra tax on your electricity or what it is, who knows. The electrical tax is going to be a problem too, because we have an awful lot of people putting up solar cells and windmills and actually selling power back to the grid and back to the power companies, and so that's going to, unless they tax it both ways, I don't know.
Well, that was one of the arguments for, you hear the greenies saying that We need more, excuse me, high mileage vehicles. And then the downside of that is lack or lesser revenue that goes into the culprits to pay for basic services like road repair. And so, you know, they're pushing on one hand to use less fuel, then crying that they're not getting as much money. So now they're coming up, like I say, that Oregon has already looked into it, about putting a GPS system in your car and charging you for each mile that you drive, and it can vary depending on the congestion of the roads. So they try to get you at both ends. Now, granted, there should be money going in to help pay for the roads, but like I've said in the past, there's also a lot of programs that are not really high priority that they could kind of put on hold to take care of the infrastructure that has a higher priority. And I'll give you a quick example. The Eugene Rail Depot down here, Railroad Depot, which I think was renovated, I'm just going by memory, about 10 years ago, they just got a federal grant to renovate it again.
Wow.
And if you ask people, oh, I didn't know Eugene had a rail depot.
Well, it's that big thing right in the middle of town, isn't it?
It's kind of to one side. It's over by fifth, between 4th and 5th.
Yeah.
But, structurally, I'm not an expert, but it looks okay. It's not falling to pieces, I'm aware of. They made it out of brick. But
and they just built that whole great big buildings and whole complex out on the what is that, the west side of town, out there behind Target, I think it is. They got it built, that whole great big thing with offices and parking places and their whole...
You're talking about eWeb, the utility company?
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
But they have buses and things out there too, so it's pretty elaborate. They're putting all this stuff. I mean, they're spending a lot of money for a country that's broke. They're spending a huge... Well, of course, see, that money was obviously allocated years ago because it's already done now.
It doesn't matter. You can still table that until the economy gets better. I mean, here's another example. In Portland, Oregon, they're planning on 600 miles of bike paths, and if they would take that money, they could fix 10 miles of roads. But,
yeah.
You know, Oregon is trying to push everybody out of their car, which if we were known as sunny Oregon, that would be one thing. But especially this year with our record rains and stuff, unless you really don't care about getting wet. Personally, I think it messes up my hair.
Well, they're not going to get people out of their car. This whole mass transit thing and all of this is all going to fall flat on its face because Americans are drivers. Americans want to be in that car and they want to have total control. And we're going to the sooner we realize that and recognize that we're not going to be like Europeans and take trains and buses, the better off we're going to be. And so we need to be fixing the roads, not trains and buses, because it's just not going to happen. Look at California. I mean, the real simple of it is there are a lot of people taking buses and things in California, and they've spent a lot of money in the Bay Area, for example. They've got the light rail going down. They've got the BART system, and they've got really good buses in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it's a big area, 9 million nine million people now, but still people do drive. They keep their option open to drive, and so many more people drive than take any of the mass transit systems. I personally like the mass transit because I can sit there and read the paper or do what I want to, and I don't have to worry about dodging other people or parking or stopping and going or trying to shift gears on a hill that's 90 degrees going up and without rolling back into somebody, and I've had that fear all my life down there. But I never actually did it, but I did ride buses a lot. But most people don't. They don't want to do that. They want that freedom of being able to do what and when they want to and not have to wait for a bus. And in most of America, you do have to wait for buses. And the Bay Area, you don't have to wait for very long. It's just a matter of minutes. But how long do you have to wait for a bus here if you live out where you live? How long would you have to wait for a bus where you live?
About 20 minutes.
That's pretty good, actually. That's really pretty good. It's still about 15 minutes longer than you would have to do it in the Bay Area, but still, Really, very.
The thing is, in the time I'm waiting for the bus, I could already be to work. So for me, it's not economical.
That's it. If you drive, you can. That's the big thing. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Speaking of economical, we're 32 minutes into the program. 646-721-9887 if you'd like to join our discussion. And we really wish you would. 686-721-6. As I had a brain fart here. 646-721-9887. I get better at response when I give out the correct phone number.
Good work there, better. Well, you know, getting into our subject sort of today, because politically correct is... I thought that's what I was talking about when I was talking about not being able to do things and not being able to have any progress because of the fact that, and I guess mostly it's the EPA that I'm upset about, because EPA does a huge amount of things that keep us from actually progressing and doing things that are even, I think, more important. For example, blocking oil drilling in Alaska. There's supposedly 27 billion barrels of oil waiting to be tapped off in the Arctic Ocean, and after 5 years, spending 5 years and nearly $4 billion, Shell Oil Company was forced to abandon its efforts to drill for oil in Alaska. $4 billion and 5 years, and with gas at $4 a gallon and higher, you'd think that more oil would be a good thing. But the Environmental Protection Agency continues to block anything that you can do. And they block all kinds of things. They're concerned about air pollution, climate change, drinking water, e-cycling, radiation, everything you can think of.
Plastic bags.
Well, you know, if you, there's a website you can go to. Where is it? Here, I'll tell you where it is. It's just EPA.com. And it tells you all the different things that they're into and that they're looking into and controlling. And things like, one of them is acetone. Okay, you'd think, what are they doing about acetone? Well, they're doing crazy things. They're doing tests on people. And the list, by the way, if you go to that page and look at the list of the things that the EPA is looking into or controlling, the list is like 300 or 400 items long. I mean, just in the A's alone, acetone, acid rain, acquisition management office, acronyms. Their EPA is worried about acronyms, acute exposures, administration itself, adopt your watershed, the advisory committee, scientific advisory committee, aerosols, aging, agriculture, an Egg Star program, air conditioning and air. This is just A's. We're not even through the A's yet. We're air radiation, air permits, air pollutants, air pollution, air quality, air planning, quality and planning, air toxics, air transport control, aircraft. I mean, we're only about halfway through the A's. This list goes on and on and on, and there's no real... What I want to say, there's no real control over the EPA. They can make the rules. And for everybody, and this, it's just out of hand, totally out of hand, as to what they can do and what they can't do, and they're into absolutely everything. And if you read that list, there's no way I can read the whole list because it's way too long. But it's just astounding at things that they're controlling and looking into that really have nothing to do with them. I mean,
well, here's one for you. Here's the headline from the EPA website. EPA in Mexico developed a $13.9 million project to improve the border.
Mm-hmm.
Initiation of $13.9 million project, including $4 million from the Global Environmental Facility,
that's
the GEF.
$13.9 million?
Yeah. It's million with an M.
Well, yeah. See, that's minuscule as to the amount of money we've spent on that border. I mean, we did a $1 billion thing with the fence and then abandoned it because we didn't think it was good. I mean, this whole thing is just gets ridiculous. Do you realize that the United States spends more on their Defense Department or our military than all other countries combined? We spend more than the entire rest of the world.
Well, it takes a lot of money to police the world.
And we need to stop policing the world. Because we're not doing that well either.
Especially when we can't even take care of ourselves.
Well, that's it. You know, if we spent some of that money right here at home, we wouldn't have a border problem. I mean, for that matter, like I heard Obama say the other day, with that kind of money, we could literally dig a moat and have a moat down there and with a big high fence on both sides, and we could eliminate all of this. We could have enough military people on the border. We could have enough of them down there that people couldn't do anything. They couldn't crawl under. They couldn't burrow under. They couldn't do anything because they'd come up against a soldier on the other side. We could have them probably side by side touching each other, enough of them to cover the entire border. I mean, it's just absurd how much money we spend outside our own borders and let our own borders go.
Well, and something that another talk show host brought up last week, talking about giving money away overseas, for example, and you made a very good point in that regards, is that, you know, we're borrowing money from other countries now, you know, like China and whatnot, and yet we give away taxpayer money to other countries without any input from the taxpayers. The point he made is that if we wanted to give money away, we should let the taxpayers donate directly and have some control over it, instead of, you know, it comes out of the general fund and over it goes, and we're suffering over here with our economy. And
the thing where we should be giving the money, of course, is the tragedy in Japan. I don't mind doing that. But with the tragedy in Japan, there are individual people who give the money away. It is the general public that does it. Our federal government has given a whole lot of money too. But and people are a lot more tolerant of that than usually in a case like that they're being asked or something. But we are a generous society, and we would pitch in and give the money and take care and help the people of Japan. Of course, Japan is not a broke country. I mean, they're not a third world country. They're not poor, and they can help themselves as well. And so, you know, there's so many different things, but militarily doing it is not the answer. Right now, we spend $1 trillion a year, which is just an unbelievable, unthinkable amount of money. And we spend that a year on and more on our military right this now. And so if we were to cut that in half and still be giving huge amounts of money away and doing huge amounts of things, that could solve our whole problem in our society. But again, it's going to be a scary thing, because I'm still maintaining that before any of this is taken care of, our society, our economy is going to have to tank. It's going to have to just go under. It's going to have to go bankrupt, or very close to it, because nobody believes it's going to happen. And until it does, nobody's doing anything about it. And so,
well, they're telling us that the economy is getting better, that there are more and more jobs are being available. Of course, you know, we down here on the ground floor don't see it.
Well, if you look at the numbers, they don't show it either at this particular time. They massage those numbers to get them to say what they want to, but if you look at the actual numbers, they don't show it. They just don't show it. And one of the things that we aren't doing, which I don't understand, is we aren't putting controls on Wall Street. Wall Street has got all these speculators, and we just let them do it. We don't say anything about it. There are certain senators and representatives that have spoken up and wanted to do something about it, but they aren't doing anything about it. And our oil prices are going sky high, and it has nothing to do with the amount of oil we have or the availability or the amount of oil that we're using. It has to do with speculation. And, you know, $3.90 a gallon. I just saw that yesterday when we were driving. $3.90 a gallon right here in Little Cottage Grove. And that's ridiculous. Our national average is like $3.69 a gallon. Actually, that was a few days ago. So it's up higher than that right now. But it's close to $4 a gallon. And, of course, that, and I'm talking about regular gasoline. It's a $4.19 for premium, so.
Right.
It's just out of sight, and it's getting worse. And we're not doing anything about it. We're just letting these people, because it's the speculators that are demanding that are making that kind of changes in our gas prices. It's not supply and demand at all.
Well, it's already peaked $4 a gallon down here in the Eugene area, and diesel up to $4.35 a gallon, which says diesel goes up because diesel is the main fuel in our freight moving transportation infrastructure, and of course that gets passed on to the.
Well, diesel is a lot more expensive because you don't have to do as much to process it.
Well,
it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, but what's adding to the cost of it, and getting back to your issue on the EPA, is they've had to put the ETA, our diesel has particulates, which is sulfur, so they had to add emission controls and also take a lot of it out in the fuel. Also, some of the newer trucks have this chemical called DEF that has to be added to the mix to help burn off some of those particulates. Well, that adds more cost to the price per gallon. I don't know how much the DEF costs. I think it's like $6 a gallon or something like that for it, and it'll last 100 months.
For that, don't they?
What's that?
The trucking company pays for that, right?
They pay for that, but then again, it's part of the overall expenses, and so it's added on to the cost of moving the materials.
Oh, I understand that, but what I'm pointing out, too, is that it doesn't raise the cost of the fuel itself, which is already ridiculously high, and there's no logical reason for it to be as high as it is.
Exactly. And when you figure it out, your average, based on my experience, your average semi gets around 5 to 6 miles to the gallon and holds about, tanks are usually about 95 gallons, so you go ahead and fill up two tanks at 95 gallons at $4.35 a gallon. That's it's quite expensive to move freight just in that alone.
Really? Well, and that raises the price of everything that we buy. Our groceries, our absolutely everything goes up with the price of gasoline, price of fuel. Let's put it that way, because it's diesel as well. But it makes a huge difference on absolutely everything, and. There's no reason for it. I mean, if there was a reason for it, I could understand that. If we were actually had a shortage, but we don't have a shortage. There is no shortage of anything. They talk about Libya and the fact that Libya is not putting out any oil. Well, Libya never supplied much of our oil anyway, so it doesn't make any difference to us. And our price of gas is what's going up. Actually, it's going up all over the world, but it's just. Libya doesn't give us our gas or our oil. They were only, I think they were less than 10% even when they were doing well. So, but it's people over, the Arab countries that are controlling the price more than anything. That cartel that they have, which is not all Arab countries, there's South American countries as well.
Well, it doesn't sound like that the president is too concerned about the fuel prices based on.
This is playing into his pocket because, see, he wants to, and I agree with him in this particular case. I would like to see the alternative fuels become a real thing of the day because it's important that we do that. Natural gas, in my opinion, natural gas has to be the big push at the moment because. Natural gas is the one thing that we have lots and lots and lots of and can have lots more of, and it's actually much less expensive. It's not as cheap as I would like it to be, but it is less expensive, and we need to start mining or whatever you call digging or scrounging up natural gas, so however you do it. It's because I guess it's the shale gas now more than anything else. And we have lots and lots and lots of it, and Canada has lots and lots and lots of it, and it, at this time it's still almost half the price of crude oil. And
well, let me throw this out to you. I have a Datsun pickup. It's a 1970, has an 1800 cc engine in it. It gets 35 miles to the gallon on the freeway. It has no computers. It's way back when things were simple. But now to get with not today's technology, they're still boasting that, and I'm talking about the non-hybrids, 22 miles to the gallon. And, of course, it's computer control and it's got the environmental stuff on it. You would think that cars would be getting better mileage and using less fuel without going the hybrid option if they could do it back in the 70s.
Well, in actuality, they are. If you take a look at like the Fords, the Ford Focus and a couple of those are getting 35 and 37 miles to the gallon. The hybrids are getting 42. And it's not a whole lot of difference anymore, the gas or the hybrids. And there are small cars. I can't think of them, but there's a couple of small cars that are being manufactured right now that get 50 miles to the gallon on gasoline, not on hybrids or anything like that. So they've got cars now that do get really good mileage. I mean, our station wagon actually gets 22 miles to the gallon on gasoline, and it's not even new. It's an 88. So they've got them out there that do that. You do have to keep them tuned up and cleaned up and things like that because their mileage goes really down when you don't do that. Right. But it's available. And, of course, the new hybrids and the new electrics, that's why the new electric cars are going to be, because now they've got electric cars that will go 100 miles on a charge. So all of a sudden it's becoming more practical to actually have an electric car. If I can live here, go to work in Eugene, and come back all on a charge, which is, you know, $100, I mean, 100 miles should do that without any trouble at all. And so I could drive an electric car for 90% of my driving. And that would save huge amounts of money and huge amounts of fuel to a certain extent. It's the electric cars are a little, what do you want to say? There's some debate there because some people say that the natural gas cars are actually greener, I guess the word would be, because electricity uses some sort of fuel and all that sort of thing to produce the electricity. So the electricity isn't totally green. It is when it's actually in the car, but manufacturing electricity still got to come from somewhere. Whereas natural gas is totally green and is actually better. But not every car can, you can get kids to change your car to go run on natural gas. And you're not saving, you're not doing that to save money. You're doing that to save the economy more than anything and to keep our money at home. Because when you're buying a gallon of gas, what is it, 60% of 60 cents on a dollar goes overseas to somewhere, some usually Arab country.
And speaking of overseas, we have 10 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887 if you'd like to call and join us and offer any other stories. I've just cruising the news while you were talking, and interesting, again, kind of reference to last week's show where we're talking about Osama bin Laden, where I guess for fear of not being politically correct, when 9/11 happened, of course, you know, we didn't want to show our kids because it would give them too much nightmares or whatever, and so with a recent death of Osama, their teachers are trying to figure out how to explain to the kids about what happened, about the fact that, you know, we hear about all these disasters and all the war going overseas and that we actually had something here at home.
Well, I'm sorry. I happen to think that we're being a little too coddling of our children. I mean, the people and the kids in the rest of the world somehow or another seem to get along and don't totally break down into nothingness, and they're told the truth. I mean, whatever happened,
they're living it.
And living the truth, yeah. But we don't do that. We don't tell our kids the truth. We have a real problem in our country of lying about everything. Everything. Our government lies to us. And then consequently, we lie back at the government. You know, why should I pay my taxes when it's not going to do what I want it to do? I mean, you know, you can always rationalize the whole thing out, and people do. And, you know, there's just no reason not to do that. There's no reason to be honest about things when the people who are you're supposed to be looking up to aren't honest. And consequently being dishonest in everything. I mean, I understand trying to shade your children from things that are hard to understand, but that isn't helping them grow up. Sooner or later, they're going to have to grow up and understand these things. So why not do it now? I mean, it doesn't hurt anything to explain to them. And you know, that's the one of the biggest things we need. And one of the things we don't have, there are no classes in child rearing that are in the public schools and things like that. We just kind of accept the fact that you just know how to do it, and most people don't. Sorry.
And on that same tone, I was just thinking that, you know, in school where the teachers are teaching about how the government works and the different houses and Senate and all that and how good the system is, and then you hear on the news, like regarding the Obamacare thing, where you have senators coming out and going, why read the bill? Or I voted in favor for it, but I didn't read it. Or we have to pass the bill to know what's in it. It's kind of like, you know, for young minds that are kind of going, okay, well, yeah, this is a really great system, works great. And then having the people they're supposed to look up to and respect telling them this stuff, that they're not even taking their job seriously.
Well, and that even goes over into school. Why should I read this, the information in school, the subject matter? Why should I do that? I'll just take the test, and if I don't make it, fine, no big thing. Chances are, in this day and age, they're going to pass me anyway, or they'll put me in some sort of a class where I can be force-fed. I mean, people don't take anything on their own initiative anymore. They just let it slide, and it's no big thing. And we've got to stop doing that. We've got to become real citizens and know what we're talking about and doing and do it. I mean, this is, it's ridiculous, the kind of lackadaisical attitude. I mean, I keep using that word, but that's what we're doing. We're sitting back fat and happy, and until something happens, which is it looks like it's going to before too long, until something happens to create a real attention, waking up the whole population, until that happens, we're just going to sit back and let it happen. And unfortunately, I think we're getting closer and closer to having something drastic happen. And hey, Americans are great for that. If there's a real drastic situation, we rise to the occasion and take care of it. But it has to get really, really bad before it actually happens.
Well, speaking of school, we got 5 minutes remaining in the program. There's talk in Oregon about changing the graduation requirements for high schoolers, where they have to put out a plan of what they're going to do after they graduate in order to get their degree. You know, are they going to register in the military? Are they going to pursue college? And they didn't say whether or not that somebody actually has to approve the plan or not, but they... The thinking behind it is to force the high schoolers to take their graduation seriously in order to get their degree and to go on with life. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, I didn't know what my options were or what I really wanted to do.
Well, perhaps that's something we should do, is we should have our teachers let them know what the options
Welcome
are.
Welcome to the journal. For months
because,
now.
Oh,
Revelations
stop that, go away. We're not teaching the options. I mean, I don't think that the plan of knowing what you're going to do when you get out of high school is the logical move. We should have them write a complete report on what they learned in high school and find out if they actually learned anything or not. I mean, everybody's these school geniuses have this thing that they don't think you should teach to tests. Well, I disagree entirely. I mean, that shouldn't be the only thing, but you have to teach to tests. You have no idea what you've taught them if you don't give them tests to find out what you've taught them. So the idea of not teaching to the test is just absurd. Perhaps we just should make sure we can make the test something that they have to think about. I mean, instead of, you know, certain yes or no answers or different things that you don't have to think. Make it, all of these questions, all these tests, answers that you have to think about and have to actually write something about so that you know if they've actually learned anything or not.
Well, it's another way to control the curriculum and make sure that the kids are being taught. Quick example, referring back to Lane Community College in Eugene, writing 121 course. It was supposed to get in and teach you how to do... essays and whatnot, but the instructor right on the first day says, we're going to do things a little bit different. Like, okay, well, I didn't know any better. And when you went to the next progression, 122, and they say, all right, well, first thing we're going to do is write an essay on this. Cool. How do we do it?
Yeah.
You don't know how to do an essay? No, we didn't cover that in class, although all the other instructors in 121 did. So the student winds up losing the time, the money, and has to go back and learn what they should have learned because there was no checks and balances to make sure that the curriculum was being taught correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You've got to have some consistency, and it needs to be more consistency because we – and I hate to say anything about having a national education system because we do have one, and I'm not sure I'm thrilled with it either. But we do have to have some consistency from state to state as well as – or nationally as well as from state to state because – people move. They go to different schools and different states, and things change. And if you haven't learned something, because I had a terrible time when I went to, well, actually, I went the other way. I went to school in Washington, and their school system, at least where I was really quite well, quite good. And when I went to California, basically, I had a year of the same thing I'd already learned. So it was pretty easy to step into the schools down there. And then I graduated in California and came back here and found out that I didn't know as much as everybody else. So it does. You need to have some sort of consistency from state to state as well as, you know, nationally state to state as well as in-state. And in the school system within the school, within the state, you've got to have consistency, as like you say, as well.
Check the balance.
What's even worse, because you say that he just didn't bother to teach what was there, and that's even worse. That should be a fireable offense.
Well, I can cite another example, too. We had two terms in the computer portion of it where you're supposed to apply what you've learned. I forget it's what the name of the course was, but some other students were going out, and they were doing backups and ghosting machines, and I got assigned the task of taking and tying string onto the keys and taping them onto the front of the computers for the removable hard drives.
I see.
So I learned a lot in that course.
Right.
But anyways, we're just about out of time here. I'd like to put a little task out to our listeners. At the top of this show, we were talking about all the different ways you can find us, and two ways we didn't mention was Facebook and Twitter. We would like to have our own Facebook URL address, so it would be facebook.com/KRBN Radio. But to do that, Facebook requires us to at least have 25 people click on the like button. So help us get our own URL and go to Facebook, look up KRBN, and click on the like button and see if we can get that number up to 25 so we can have our own URL address.
Oh, for the day of working to Facebook, huh?
Yeah.
Facebook has become an amazing organization. I mean, I get emails constantly from Facebook. I got one yesterday that said, people are waiting to meet you. And I clicked on and went to Facebook, and there was like 200 names of people who wanted to be my friend. And
won't you be my friend?
Yeah, I didn't click on any of them because I didn't recognize any of them. So sorry, Facebook.
Yeah, you have fans out there.
Yeah, I have something. And yeah, a lot of them, because they put on their one mutual friend. So somebody that I know knows this person, and so they should be my friend. But I don't know them, so...
I was busy promoting. No, I wasn't. But anyways, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're cutting the show a little short today. Our hearts go out to Cindy and the problems that she's having with her family, the death in her family. And hopefully she'll be back next week. We'll be back again next Wednesday, same time, 10 a.m. Pacific. And if you have any ideas or comments, please send it to us at talk@krbnradio.com. We love getting the emails. And join us live here again next week, 10 a.m.
I'll be here, ready or not. So, looking forward to seeing you. Have a good day.
See you next week.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.